This is SB Nation Radio.
Great moments are born from great opportunity.
A new generation of sports radio.
This is the Tony D Show.
Now it's time to see who has the heart.
This is our countdown to kickoff featuring the Green Bay Packers. Live from the Quicken Loan Studios in New Jersey, here's Tony DeZiri.
Glad you can be with us as we kick off another week here on SB Nation Radio. I am Tony D, taking you up for the next 2 hours, and the Green Bay Packers are in our countdown to kickoff today. A team that's going to have Jordy Nelson back, a team that was really lacking him, and the complete identity of the Packers was missing. They were off last year because of that absence at the wide receiver position. Aaron Rodgers didn't have a particularly good year. Eddie Lacy was massively overweight. But things are certainly changing in Green Bay with him coming back and Eddie Lacy doing some P90X. We're going to be breaking down the Packers throughout the show tonight. We are doing a team a day all the way through to the start of the regular season. Speaking of which, the preseason was supposed to start on Sunday night in Canton, Ohio with the Hall of Fame game between the Packers and the Indianapolis Colts. And instead that game got canceled because paint congealed and the safety of the... I don't even know how the science works. But anyway, it was unsafe to play. Now look, there are two angles you can take with the cancellation of a Hall of Fame game. One, that it's a huge embarrassment to the NFL. Somebody needs to be fired over this. This is a bully, a black eye on the start of the preseason, et cetera, et cetera. Or you can take the approach that I think a lot of people are sort of taking it as, well, I mean, in the end, it's a meaningless game. Anyway, we'll all get over this. Let's start with the first angle that you could take in that story, is that somebody needs to be fired. This is unacceptable. This is a black mark on the NFL. A couple of things on this. One, when the NFL has these kind of games, they are putting them in stadiums that they don't control. Now, I don't understand why they don't control this, because Jim Irsay has said, well, it's a little different when we play a game in Canton, Ohio. Why is it different when you play a game in Canton, Ohio? Why don't you just take it over? Why don't you take over everything about the game? Why don't you make sure that it's all up to your standards with your people? It's your product. Why don't you just come in and go, this belongs to us? So get out and leave. Golf tournaments do this all the time. A country club is not responsible for setting up a U.S. Open. The U.S. Open is responsible for setting up the U.S. Open. So when the U.S. Open arrives at your neighborhood country club and they are awarded that, you don't get to run it. You don't get to say, well, the tees should be here and the greens are going to get cut here and we're going to do this. The USGA comes in and goes, everybody get out. Everybody get out. This is how we set this up. So why hasn't the NFL been able to do that here? Should somebody be fired? Of course, because it should have all been under the umbrella of making sure that all of this stuff, whether paint congeals and it becomes like tar and it's sticky and some places were harder than normal, that the overall field conditions were unplayable. That's got to fall on somebody. And it was a embarrassment to the league. The problem is how long of an embarrassment is it? Because, yeah, you can be embarrassed, but once people love who you are, they'll get over it quickly. They'll move on quickly. And the problem is with the NFL is it can never really be embarrassed by anything because we continue to consume the product. And we continue to consume the product in such a way that stuff like this is gone within a span of 24 hours, if not 48 hours. Sure, the people who went in that weekend, Green Bay Packer fans, for example, who went that weekend to see Brett Favre's speech and maybe stick around to see a preseason game, were left out of not getting a game. But nobody's losing their minds over this. ESPN wanted to unveil its broadcast crew. They'll unveil it again next weekend. It's all good. The Canton Hall of Fame lost $4 million. They'll survive. The playing conditions were not acceptable by the players, so they had to cancel the game. Everything's good. But I do understand that when we are talking NFL, it's a lot different than other sports because the NFL comes to us at such a time where we're dying for something else. We just get done the playoffs in the NBA and the NHL in June. We've got this long wait for something meaningful. We're all looking ahead to football season. You see it all the time. 6 more weeks till football, 5 more weeks to football, 48 more days to football. We see it all the time. The NFL comes along and says, yeah, okay, it's preseason, but you know what? It's uniforms you know. It's some players you know. It's an actual game. Here it is, and it's going to be on the 7th of April, of August. Enjoy. And then we get to it, and it's not there. But again, it'll be, you know, Thursday night. There's a whole bunch of games that are on the schedule. We'll get our preseason fix that way, I guess. But I understand why some people in the NFL would be angry at this, and I can understand why owners like Jim Irsay would be angry at this. When you have a reputation, when you are top of your business, when you know, and they are, they're the top of the sports business, you don't want these kind of things. Even if they don't last, even if people forget about them, even if people in the end don't really care, you don't want that on your resume, especially the year. It's a brief hiccup. Believe me, they are not worried about this long term, but it's something you don't want to deal with. It's a quality control issue. I just don't understand why the NFL is, you know, why and how much of it is true that Jim Irsay says it really is on the fault of stadium personnel. Why are you putting that in the hands of other people? This should be all under your umbrella. If it isn't, then it should be. I've heard people say, oh, they should play the game in Cleveland at an NFL-ready stadium. What do you mean? You have all year to get this thing ready for the game. It plays high school events, and then you could own it and build it the way you want to build it. It takes any field. You can turn it into an NFL-ready field if you have those people in place. So have people in place so it doesn't happen again. 800-777-2907 is the number to join us. Again, the Packers are on our clock, on our countdown to kickoff. I am Tony D. It's SB Nation Radio. So Alex Rodriguez on Sunday, Yankees make an announcement that he is going to quote-unquote retire. He's going to be a team advisor. They're going to pay him out the rest of his contract, some $27 million. And his final game will be on Friday at Yankee Stadium. So everyone can say goodbye to the career of Alex Rodriguez. Now, it just so happens that I will be going to Yankee Stadium on Saturday. So I will be actually going to the first, you know, post-Alex Rodriguez career era. I'm sure that everyone at the stadium is going to be like, wow, it's going to be weird not having Alex Rodriguez, you know, sitting on the bench, you know, bench warming, you know, just kind of hanging around. I feel like Alex Rodriguez isn't even on the team now, and now we're going to say goodbye.
Isn't that the day they're doing the 96 team? They're paying tribute to that team. And then the day after, they're doing something for Mariano Rivera, I believe, as well.
This is a way for the Yankees to go, hey, you go, and everybody we love, we're going to honor in a three-day span.
Exactly.
Right? You take off. We'll say goodbye. Yeah, we'll give you a gift and maybe not. I don't know. But then Derek Jeter and the rest of the 96 team, John Wetland and Charlie Hayes and Wade Boggs and, you know, all the members of that 96 team, Paul O'Neill, Bernie Williams, will all get to come in and we'll say thank you for that 20 years ago. And then Mariano Rivera gets honored on Sunday. And so Alex Rodriguez, you know, this is, to me, Alex Rodriguez should have been a player that should have had a career that ended like Jeter's. It doesn't matter if he didn't play for Seattle all the way through or Texas all the way through, wherever, that he should have been celebrated. He was one of those kind of players, young teenager coming into the league, was good right away, made his first All-Star game, I think at 19 or 20, was just a phenomenal talent that looked like he could take the home run record and own that. And it's amazing what PEDs will do. It's amazing what that stigma can do for people. That in the end, we are watching Alex Rodriguez, who's just a couple short, four short of 700 home runs, and everyone's like, good riddance, can't wait, goodbye, 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 goodbye. They can't wait to get rid of him. The Yankees are doing it so they can usher in a youthful era and just sort of go, yeah, we just need to move on. We're selling like crazy. We're not even using you. We will pay you all your money, but we just don't want you around. And that's amazing because if you go back to that teenager Alex Rodriguez, if you go back to even the early 20s Alex Rodriguez, you would have thought, man, it would have been a real fall from grace if this guy made it. It was playing in his 40s. And it was just a dismissive attitude by the baseball public. And that's exactly what it was, right? He defied all of those accusations on PEDs and the Biogenesis scandal, defied it. Just said, I'm going down swinging. You will not take my, you know, not take me away. I will appeal until finally they went, ah, okay, fine. I'll sit out a year. He made the most, probably the most quietest run towards 700 that we've seen because America has had enough with this stuff. And so he will leave the game on Friday a lot different than I thought he was going to leave with it 20 years ago. 800-777-2907. We'll talk more about that. But coming up, the Olympics. Pat Graham at the bottom of the hour from Rio. Boy, that was an interesting opening ceremonies on Friday. But we had some good stuff this weekend. We'll talk about Michael Phelps, Katie Ledecky, U.S. men's basketball, all of that coming up next. It's Tony D on SB Nation Radio.
This is the Tony D Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Tony DeZiri.
I'm glad you've been with us here on SB Nation Radio. I am Tony D. Roger Goodell was named commissioner of the NFL 10 years ago today, August 8th, 2006. You can tweet me at Tony D Radio if you think Roger Goodell has done a good job in the 10 years as a fan. He certainly has done a good job for the owners, but as a fan, have you liked the work of Roger Goodell as commissioner of this league? 800-777-2907. So the Olympic opening ceremonies were Friday night, and I said last week that my wife is a huge fan of this. We watch it every 2 years, summer, winter. We do this all the time. She loves to gather the family, and we watch the Olympics. And when the United States comes in, my kids cheer. And, you know, it's a pretty good thing. We don't do a lot of TV as a family, and so this is kind of a cool thing. I was blown away how long it was. I mean, I must forget how long these things are. That was over 3 hours, the opening ceremonies for the Olympic Games. And it's great because it's a celebration of the country that's hosting it, and I'm sure people enjoy it. I hate to say this, but I just wanted to see the U.S. get in, and that was it. And I was so thankful. I mean, so thankful that the Portuguese alphabet, the United States, was E. Because I didn't have to wait that long for the U.S. to come in. But I went out of the room after the United States was announced, right? I said, well, I got to go downstairs and do some stuff. I'll be back. I come back up. My wife is on the couch sleeping. My daughter is gone. My son is in his room. And I looked and they were on H. And I said, how long? How many countries are in this thing? I couldn't begin to tell you how long that. I just stopped watching it. I said, oh. And look, every country should get its due. I'm not saying it should be, you know, put together just for silly old me who just wants to watch America walk in and walk out. But overall, it was an interesting night for the opening ceremonies because there was one moment where they said that there was a Brazilian that, you know, flew an airplane before the Wright brothers. There was already a diss of the Wright brothers in the opening ceremonies. I love Giselle walking in, and all I kept thinking about was, wow, Tom Brady, his impact in sports even stretches to the Olympic Games. Like, how many people watched that and went, look, Giselle, Tom Brady's wife. Tom Brady's wife, Giselle Bundchen, walking along the floor of the Olympic ceremonies. There was a really cool moment with Oscar Schmidt, who is a fantastic basketball player. In fact, they did a feature on him over the weekend. He was part of the flag presentation, and the crowd cheered when he had it. The lighting of the torch was pretty cool. I just thought overall it's too long. I really wish I could narrow it down a little bit. But it's not a TV show for us. I always have to remember that. As much as I can complain, it's not a TV show for me. It's a TV show for Rio. It may be for the world, but it's really not. It's for Rio. It's the country. They are hosting it. They are putting it together. They want to celebrate their culture and their country. All right, so if they want to do it for 3 hours, let them do it for 3 hours. Overall, though, if there are problems at the Olympic Games, and Adam, you and I have talked about this for weeks and weeks leading up, we are never going to hear about these things. We are never going to get shown this. If there are serious problems at the Olympics, they are certainly doing a great job of making sure you don't know about it while you watch at home. And so when there was one story that I was praying was true, and that was an Olympic kayaker capsized because there was a sofa underneath the water when his boat went over it. And there was no real confirmation of that story, and I was kind of hoping it was true and not just some sort of onion parody. I found it on a number of other websites, but it doesn't mean it's true. So it was part of me that was kind of hoping that story was true, that there was an underwater piece of trash or a sofa that caused a kayaker to capsize. I mean, too bad for the kayaker, but this is the kind of stuff we've been hearing all the way up to the start of the Olympic Games. But there were some really good moments this weekend. Michael Phelps winning his 19th gold medal as that relay team and his part in that relay. I had to pause it and show my kids when he went to make the turn. There's if you pause it, or they did a good job of showing it to you on replay. There was a moment where all of the other swimmers had their heads above the water, and Michael Phelps was ahead of them, still underwater, coming off the turn. He got one of the best turns I've ever seen in swimming. I'm not a huge swimming guy, but I know it enough. It was one of the most incredible turns. The way he stayed and generated speed off that turn, stayed underwater before he came up to start swimming. 19 gold medals. And you think about lives changed for one. How lives changed based on one medal. How you can make a career as an Olympic athlete, if you captivated America, like a Mary Lou Retton or someone along those lines, where you captivate America winning a gold medal in whatever it is that you win, you can make a career out of it. And Michael Phelps has 19 of these things. 19. When he was announced that he was going to Rio, I'll be honest with you, I thought it was more symbolic. All right, he made the team. But really, I mean, Michael Phelps? How long is he going to be competitive? And that relay team, that was a really great emotional moment. That was a great moment. That's what the Olympics can generate better than any other thing, is those individual, I don't really know this sport, but I kind of know the guy, and I'm just rooting for my country. And then you see it play out. It brings it like no other thing. Because we don't, as a country, root for the same thing a lot. World Cup, Olympics, that's pretty much it. Otherwise, we're pretty tribal. We root for our teams in our cities, in our states, and our colleges, but we hardly ever get to root for anything together as a country. Michael Phelps was that guy for many Olympics, especially in 2008. In 2008, people stopped what they were doing when he was on TV. People just stopped. They froze. They jumped on TVs. They didn't matter where they were. They wanted to see, did he get another one? Could he get another one? Could he win again? And last night you felt it on Twitter. You just felt it throughout that this was something that was really cool to watch. Katie Ledecky is fantastic. She's another one. With the way I talked about Michael Phelps being completely underwater, and then Katie Ledecky, the same thing. There's Katie Ledecky in her lane, and everybody else is in the back. It's like Secretariat at the Belmont. She is so far ahead, she could doggy paddle to the finish and still win the gold. So she's really fun to watch. I did get a chance to watch the U.S. Men's basketball team beat Senegal, I think they were playing. I don't even know who they're playing. China. They beat China. Yeah, I'm sorry. The women played Senegal. That's great. That is, I don't know. I don't know if I should like it. I want to like it, but at the same time, it's almost like this is just an exhibition. Stop this. Cancel it. Just play a half. But it is, of course, what the United States said that they were going to do. They're going to dominate these things and win these things.
And the crazy thing is, the U.S., they didn't play good outside of Kevin Durant.
How do you coach, Boogie was okay. How do you coach that? Like, if you're Mike Krzyzewski, do you lose your mind? These guys are on a cruise ship. Do you bring them into practice an hour early? Like, what do you do?
Maybe there's a court. There's probably a court on the ship, isn't there?
I mean, do they say to... Oh, they've got to be,
do,
right?
Do you make Klay Thompson go up and shoot 53s until he makes 35?
Herb Brooks it? Do you just go, again, and make them run? And listen, we're playing sloppy here against China. This is 52-point victory is not going to cut it. We need to be sharp.
Pay to watch Coach K do that to that team.
It's just, imagine, like, if he just walked up to him with a clipboard, he was like, Coach, what are you doing? This is vacation for us. We're up by 45, and we're going to win this thing going away, and then you're done. All right, coming up, Pat Graham from the Associated Press is in Rio. We'll get the take on the Olympics. Is what we're seeing accurate? Are there problems there? Because we thought there would be a bunch. We'll ask Pat that next. Tony D, SB Nation Radio.
This is the Tony D Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Tony DeZiri.
800-777-2907, the number to join us on the show today. Pat Graham from the AP. We're trying to hook up with him in Rio to talk about the first couple of days of the Olympics. Like I said earlier, we expected a lot of problems, but you kind of know working in the media that they're not going to display that. This is a TV show. This is NBC's paid a lot of money to bring you this TV show. They're not going to be spending their time showing you the trash and the pollution and all of that. The venues look great. Opening ceremonies looked good, right? The games are going off. Athletes look like they're having a good time. They're not going to show you the bad Olympic Village. They're not going to show you some of the crime that may be outside the city. That stuff is not going to make the cut when it comes to the Olympic Games. I got to tell you, every year, some of my friends that I worked with in Colorado and Colorado Springs go to the Olympic Games, and I always tell them, man, I really wish I could make that trip. I didn't wish that for this year. I didn't wish I could have gone to Rio. There was so many bad stories about the Games, but right now, if you looked at it the way it's been being presented, it looks like a athletic paradise. Everything looks fantastic. Virginia Thrasher from West Virginia won the first gold medal for the United States of the game in air rifle. That was a sport I tried to figure out on the fly, and I couldn't quite. I guess you get points for hitting the bullseye closer to the bullseye. I guess it's like darts. But I found the she was going up. She was really, really good at this sport. And then basically got into it, you know, as a young gal hunting. So there was some internet backlash. And I said, God, can't somebody just get into their sport without it being controversial? So it's air rifle. So she beat two Chinese athletes in that event, picking up the United States' first gold. But the United States men's basketball team, we talked about that earlier, they dominated China over the weekend. The women dominated Senegal. Katie Ledecky and Michael Phelps winning gold medals. So far, it's been really fun over the weekend to watch. Pat Graham joins us from the Associated Press in Rio. How are you, Pat?
Hey, I'm doing very well. Sorry, it's a little loud here. I'm at the archery venue today.
Okay, archery. My man, you got to tell me something about this. Are we good at archery?
The U.S. won a silver medal on Saturday, so yes, they are good at archery.
Oh, good, good. Pat, let me get this right out of the way. We're not seeing a lot of the problems in Rio. I don't expect to. It is still a TV show. But do the problems that plagued the start of these games, do they still present themselves while the games are going on?
Well, I mean, first of all, Rio is absolutely stunning. I've rarely seen a city so beautiful. This is just, it's absolutely gorgeous. Problems. Zika. Let's see. Not so much yet. We're still early, so might have some Zika issues, you know, enter. Crime. Crime is still a big deal. Got to be safe. Let's see. Economic depression. They're hiding that pretty well. I haven't seen much of that. Logistical nightmare. Yes. Check. That is bad. Everything else. This is, it's just like any other Olympic Games. I mean, there's some problems, and the buildup of problems was huge going into the Games and coming to the Games, and so far in my little bubble, everything's been great.
Yeah, as far as putting on the show for the world, I thought the opening ceremonies went very, very well. The venues look really nice. So were a lot of those predictions about them not being ready, were those over-exaggerated?
Well, there's some things that aren't ready, but by and large, it's that way in every Olympics I've ever been to. I mean, the build-up, you're like, you hear all the doom and gloom, and then you get here, and it really is what you make of it. If you have a good disposition, a good attitude, I think you kind of overlook some things. And if you want to find problems, yeah, there are things that are problems here. I mean, for instance, working internet. Internet goes down all the time. I mean, that's you know, no big deal, but it is a big deal. And, you know, athletes, you know, they didn't have Pokemon Go for a while, but now they seem to have it, and the athletes love it. So, hey, problems get worked out.
Pat, let me ask you about Michael Phelps, because we know the legend, and he got another gold medal. In terms of putting this in some sort of perspective on what exactly we're seeing in an Olympic career, what are we seeing in an Olympic career with Michael Phelps?
Well, we're seeing something that we may never see again. I mean, the bar is him. I mean, he is the greatest Olympic athlete of all time. You have to give him that, because he's shown it. I mean, to come back and do what he's done is not only unreal, it's just flabbergasting. I mean, and you know, he's talking about maybe even 2020. Maybe he comes back and does it again, because I mean, he's still dominating. I mean, he's not like he just comes back and this is an awesome run. He is still the best swimmer in the pool. It's amazing to see, and he's a freak of nature.
Katie Ledecky, now, does she have a chance to be sort of a female Michael Phelps, longevity in terms of the dominating of the sport? Because she's on another screen compared to the other swimmers.
Well, exactly. I mean, I don't know if you saw that world record pace. I mean, it's funny because, like, on that world record swim, usually you're like, they have the line there, and usually your head's maybe over a little bit. Maybe your shoulder's a little bit but her toes were over it. It was unbelievable how much she broke that by.
Yeah, and in terms of her, does she have superstar potential? I mean, will she be selling us a lot of stuff in the next couple of years?
Well, you could make that argument. And the problem with swimming is you just don't know. I mean, Missy Franklin, I mean, we'll see what she does this year. But she was the darling of 2012, and she could be again. But she's coming in. She's had some injuries. She's been banged up, and we'll wait to find that out. But really, the proof is in the pudding. And you can say all you want how they're going to be a stars for a long time. But as swimmers before have proven, it's hard to do. I mean, there's a next crop of and next generation of swimmers coming up that you can't depend on. No one knew her, Katie Ledecky, years ago, and now here she is. She's arrived, and and you just don't know what's waiting on the horizon.
Pat Graham joins us from the Associated Press in Rio for the Olympic Games. Pat, is there a good buzz for golf? I'm a golfer. I like the sport, but I don't really know how it's going to play in the Olympics. Is there a buzz for it? It starts on Thursday.
Well, you know what? The buzz. I think people are eager to see how they pull it off, and I think that they're eager to see, how this goes with, some of the best players in the world pulling out. I think golf will be great. I mean, it's golf. I mean, it's fun, and the format they have is exciting, and Ricky Fowler and company are here, so yeah, it's going to be fine. I mean, it's going to be fun. I mean, I would pretty much watch any Olympic event. I think all Olympic events are fun. I mean, even the ones that you wouldn't even race walking, I would even go watch that because it's an Olympic event.
I have to ask you, if I were to go to Rio as a fan, are tickets easy to get? How do I prepare my trip to Rio? Can I just walk up and buy a ticket?
That's a great question. I fortunately have not had that problem.
I have a pass.
I'm guilty. I feel bad. But from what I've heard like today, Archie, for instance, you could buy a ticket. There are plenty of seats here today. You could definitely buy a ticket. You could definitely get your hands on a ticket. I have not seen any scalpers. That I can tell you that. But maybe I'm in the wrong places.
Pat, what did you make of the opening ceremonies? If you're going to celebrate a country, if you're going to celebrate a region, they seem to do a pretty good job.
Yeah, it was awesome. It's funny because I actually watched the opening ceremonies in a restaurant on Copacabana Beach. It wasn't too bad. I was like looking around going, it doesn't get any better than this, watching the opening ceremonies on Copacabana. But, I guess I could have been in the stadium and it would have been better. But as far as I was concerned, I had the best seat in the house.
Pat, real quick, I got 60 seconds. What are you looking forward to the most? Is there an event that you're very good at covering?
100%, yes. I can't wait for the 100-meter final. I can't wait. I can't wait. I think Usain Bolt against Justin Gatlin, it's going to be epic. And, everybody's putting their money on Usain Bolt, but don't count out Justin Gatlin. That guy, I don't know. He's ready. He's in the best shape of his life, and he learned from last year, and I think that he can give Bolt a run for his gold.
All right, I said it was the last question. I lied. Have you seen the luxury cruise ship that the U.S. basketball team is on?
Yeah, I've been staying on it as well. No, I haven't seen it yet, but I would love to go on there. I would love to be a guest on there and just check it out. But I haven't gotten that invitation yet.
I did see your picture of the hotel you're staying at with that rooftop pool, man. What are you doing?
Hey, you know what? My place is not too shabby either. It's not a luxury cruise liner or anything, but I am not complaining about my venue at all. I have a working gym, I have a restaurant, I have a pool, and I have my commute time is not too bad. So I have no problems.
Pat, enjoy it. We'll hopefully hook up with you again soon before this is over. Thanks a lot, my friend.
That sounds good. Thanks for having me on. Really appreciate it.
You got it, my man. Pat Graham of the Associated Press. Oh, yeah, thank goodness. He's not staying in press squalor covering the Olympic Games. I was really nervous about my friends in the media that were going to go down there. That's one thing media loves to do is complain. They get a job where they get free access to anything they want. They get fed. They get to go to whatever game they want. And yet they'll always find something to complain about. Oh, the internet's going down. Oh, my bed's too hard. My room service was late. The coffee was cold. Pat seems to be having a good time at Rio. It seems to be going off pretty smooth right now. Coming up, we'll talk about the Green Bay Packers and our countdown to kickoff preview and RG3 starting in Cleveland. Does that make them interesting? We'll talk about that next. I'm Tony D. It's SB Nation Radio.
This is the Tony D. Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Tony DeZiri.
Radio. I am Tony D. Green Bay Packers are the preview team today. Well, we'll be talking with Tex Western. What's his real name? Evan?
Evan.
And he goes by Tex?
Yes.
I would legally change my name to Tex Western if I could. That's great. From Acme Packing Company at SB Nation, we'll talk to him about the Packers. 10-6 last year, a down year for the Packers because Jordy Nelson went down with an injury that sort of affected the offense. It affected Aaron Rodgers. But nevertheless, they still managed to, you know, win enough games and whatnot. But this year, there's some real high expectations. Eddie Lacy is now thinner. He used the P90X, I guess, or he worked with the P90X guy, so he's in better shape. Nelson should be back. They do have some spots that they're going to be filling, so we're going to be breaking that down with Tex Western from SB Nation in the next hour. RG3 was named the starting quarterback in Cleveland. This really is not a surprise because, you know, you bring in RG3 and you don't have a lot of players that you're really all that high on anyway. I was a little surprised. If I was going to add an element of that to this, I would say I was a little surprised it came this quickly. Because RG3 was not the guy going in that they were like, okay, let's have a parade. Let's give him the key to the city. We have now found our starting quarterback. I remember when Drew Bledsoe went to Buffalo after the Brady era was starting in New England, and Bledsoe went to Buffalo. They, like, shut the city down. It was Drew Bledsoe Day. They were all excited. So Bledsoe going to Buffalo, he's the guy. When RG3 came to Cleveland, that wasn't the feel. That wasn't exactly what was going down in Cleveland. That, okay, we found our quarterback. It was, okay, let's see if he can revise his career here. But that really wasn't a celebratory moment. So now Hugh Jackson is saying, oh, RG3's the starter. Well, I don't know. Play a couple of preseason games before you can make this announcement later. You don't need to make it now. But all of the time, I mean, I don't know how many times I saw RG3's looking good in offseason workouts. RG3's looking good in the early part of camp. Boy, they're really impressed with it. Don't try to sell me that stinking pile of garbage. No matter how much you spin that, don't sell that to me. I will not buy it until I see it in game film. Because the thing about Robert Griffin III is the game is what matters the most. When he's in the pocket, he's not comfortable there. He doesn't want to get hit. And so when he doesn't want to get hit, he doesn't do the right things. And he's very, very touchy. He doesn't read defenses very well. So he can look great because he's an athlete, for crying out loud. He's a good athlete. He runs great. He throws. He's got tools. It's bringing it to the game that matters the most. This is like a golfer being on the range, for crying out loud. Oh, wow. He's striping them down the fairway. Oh, my gosh. On the practice range, he hit 30 straight drives right down the middle. And then the first tee jitters kicks in and he's over in the left rough. That's RG3 in a nutshell. So don't spin this like, oh, he's really changed his stripes. Until I see it, I'm not going to believe it. And by the way, it's not like he's going into a Mercedes and driving that thing. He's going to be asked to lead a football team that doesn't win and doesn't have a history of winning and is going through yet another new head coach and another system. So he's already got that built into his problem. So don't sell me the RG3 is looking great story, because I'm going to hear that. I heard that enough before. Until he reads defense as well at the pro level, until he actually isn't scared to be in the pocket and stays in there despite maybe getting hit or pressure coming, I mean, then I'll buy it that he's fine. But look, at least it makes the Browns somewhat interesting. Because the Browns, when they had, you know, all those quarterbacks, a huge list of quarterbacks that are on the back of the jersey, the infamous jersey, this might be one of the more interesting additions outside of Manziel, and that didn't last long. We kind of knew when Manziel was going to start that it wasn't really going to work out. This makes them somewhat interesting. The other thing too is their division is good. There is no shortage of interesting stories in their division. Right? Cincinnati bounces back. The Pittsburgh Steelers have a world-class offense. The Baltimore Ravens should be healthy and back to full strength. They were a 5-win team last year, loaded with injuries. They should be back to full force. So the interesting angle of the Browns in the AFC North isn't really going to carry that much weight with RG3 at quarterback. I'm just a little surprised that it came this early. And I guess coaches can make them whenever they want, but, you know, I thought a couple of preseason games under the belt, and then you could sell it. Right now, I'm not going to buy it until I see it during the regular season. 800-777-2907, 800-777-2907. It is also the 10th anniversary of Roger Goodell being appointed commissioner of the NFL. And With commissioners, they're hit and miss when it comes to fans. If the commissioner has ever done your team wrong, you hate them. If he's ever done somebody else wrong that you enjoyed watching, then you love him. Roger Goodell is a polarizing figure in the NFL because while he doesn't work for you, everything that he does, we're affected by. He works for the 32 owners of the league to make the league as profitable as he possibly can. However, every decision that he makes, the way he goes about making money for the league, that's come under scrutiny. And it affects us, the consumer of the product. Whether or not a player that we love is being suspended or wrongly targeted, or the game is changing or it's altering, or there's a decision that we disagree with, or the way the teams are marketed, the way the league hands down its penalties. There's a whole litany of reasons to either think Roger Goodell is doing a good job from a fan perspective or a bad job from where we stand. We'll talk more about that coming up in the next hour. Again, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio. Green Bay Packers are going to be on the clock. Tex Western will join us from SB Nation. We'll break down a team that's getting some key players back on offense, still has Aaron Rodgers, a division that should be theirs, but will it be? We'll be breaking that down coming up next. Also, if you want to hit us up on Facebook, Tony D Radio Show, you can find out the teams that we'll be doing for the remainder of the week leading up to our countdown to kickoff, which, again, will be starting off of the regular season. We're doing a team a day all the way to the start. Also, coming up in the next hour, we'll get into Ichiro's 3,000th hit and the Japan League. Everyone wants to know, do we count them or not? I'll have an answer to that. Hall of Fame game canceled. We all need to get over that. That's all coming up in hour two. I am Tony D. This is SB Nation Radio.